Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin, my name is Avram Goldar, and today Masechus Gittin, Daf Nun Vav, the fifth parak HaNizokin. The Zichu Masechus Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichu Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three topics we're going to focus on are when the following three blind discuss the Churban of Bais Sheni in detail, beginning with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. A man sent an invitation for his banquet to his friend Kamsa, but his enemy Bar Kamsa was mistakenly invited. When the host told him to leave, Bar Kamsa offered to pay for his portion, then half the feast, then the entire feast, but the host removed him. Bar Kamsa took the rabbi's silence to his abuse as acquiescence and slandered the Jews to the Caesar as rebelling. As proof, he told the Caesar to send a carbon in which he caused a disqualifying blemish, which is not a blemish for Gentiles. The rabbis considered sacrificing it under the circumstances, but Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkua said, Yom Rubayim Mumin craving Lagami Mizbeach. People will say blemish animals are offered on the Mizbeach. They suggested killing Bar Kamsa to prevent him from telling the Caesar that his carbon was rejected, but Rabbi Zechariah stopped them by claiming people will then say one who blemishes consecrated animals is put to death. Rabbi Yochanan commented on the sinuso of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkuas. The tolerance of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkuas in allowing Bar Kamsa to live, Hechrives Beisenu Vesarfes Hecholenu Viglisanu Miartsenu, destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, burned our sanctuary, and exiled us from our land. Point number two, the Gemara relates that during Vespasian's siege on Yerushalayim and the ensuing famine brought on by the Bar Yonim, a group agitating for fighting the Romans who burnt the food storehouses, Abba Sikra, the head of the Bar Yonim, secretly met with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his uncle. Abba Sikra agreed to assist Rabbi Yochanan leave the city and suggested faking Rabbi Yochanan's death and carrying him out in a coffin. When he met Vespasian, Rabbi Yochanan greeted him, Shlomo Alach Malka, Shlomo Alach Malka, peace upon you, O king, peace upon you, O king. Although Vespasian denied being king, Rabbi Yochanan explained his prediction based on Vespasian's conquering Yerushalayim, and his prediction was soon proven correct. Before heading back to Rome, Vespasian offered Rabbi Yochanan to make a request, and he made three. Tenli Yavne v'chachamecha, grant me Yavne and its sages to be spared. V'shushiltad Rabban Gamliel, the line of Rabban Gamliel, the eventual Nasi from David's line. Vasvasad demasinlei l'Rabbi Tzadok, and doctors to cure Rabbi Tzadok from his years of fasting. Rav Yosef or Rabbi Kiva declared about it, Meshi v'chochamim achor v'datam yisakel. Hashem turns wise men backwards and makes their intelligence foolish. He should have said to leave them this time and spare Yerushalayim. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan was afraid that Vespasian would not grant him anything. And point number three, the Gemara describes what occurred when Titus was sent in Vespasian's place. He brought a harlot in the Kodesh Kodoshim, spread out a Sefer Torah, and sinned upon it. He slashed the parochas from which blood miraculously bubbled out, which he took to mean that he had killed himself, which is a euphemistic reference to Hashem. He wrapped the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash in the parochas and brought them on a ship going back to Rome. When a storm threatened to drown, he blasphemously declared that Kodesh Baruch Hu could only destroy his enemies with water. A baskol issued forth, Rasha ben Benosha, Esav Rasha, evil one, son of an evil one, descendant of the evil Esav, Birya Kala Yeshli Ba'olami V'yatu Shema. I have a lowly creature in my world called the gnat. Alo Yabash V'tasi Imam Muhammad, go up on dry land and do battle with it. A gnat entered Titus's nose and picked at his brain for 7 years. Once he passed a smith hammering, and the gnat stopped. For the next 3 days, he had a smith banging in his presence until the gnat became accustomed to the sound and returned. The Gemara describes its great size when Titus died. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The following three blind discuss the Churban of Bais Sheni in detail, beginning with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. A man sent an invitation for his banquet to his friend Kamsa, but his enemy Bar Kamsa was mistakenly invited. When the host told him to leave, Bar Kamsa offered to pay for his portion, then half the feast, then the entire feast, but the host removed him. Bar Kamsa took the rabbi's silence to his abuse as acquiescence and slandered the Jews to the Caesar as rebelling. As proof, he told the Caesar to send a carbon in which he caused a disqualifying blemish, which is not a blemish for Gentiles. The rabbis considered sacrificing it under the circumstances, but Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkua said, Yom Rubayim Mumin craving Lagami Mizbeach. People will say blemish animals are offered on the Mizbeach. They suggested killing Bar Kamsa to prevent him from telling the Caesar that his carbon was rejected, but Rabbi Zechariah stopped them by claiming people will then say one who blemishes consecrated animals is put to death. Rabbi Yochanan commented on the sinuso of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkuas. The tolerance of Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkuas in allowing Bar Kamsa to live, Hechrives Beisenu Vesarfes Hecholenu Viglisanu Miartsenu, destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, burned our sanctuary, and exiled us from our land. Point number two, the Gemara relates that during Vespasian's siege on Yerushalayim and the ensuing famine brought on by the Bar Yonim, a group agitating for fighting the Romans who burnt the food storehouses, Abba Sikra, the head of the Bar Yonim, secretly met with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his uncle. Abba Sikra agreed to assist Rabbi Yochanan leave the city and suggested faking Rabbi Yochanan's death and carrying him out in a coffin. When he met Vespasian, Rabbi Yochanan greeted him, Shlomo Alach Malka, Shlomo Alach Malka, peace upon you, O king, peace upon you, O king. Although Vespasian denied being king, Rabbi Yochanan explained his prediction based on Vespasian's conquering Yerushalayim, and his prediction was soon proven correct. Before heading back to Rome, Vespasian offered Rabbi Yochanan to make a request, and he made three. Ten li Yavne v'chachamecha, grant me Yavne and its sages to be spared. V'shushilta the Rabban Gamliel, the line of Rabban Gamliel, the eventual Nasi from David's line. Masvasa de masinlei l'Rabbi Tzadok, and doctors to cure Rabbi Tzadok from his years of fasting. Rav Yosef or Rabbi Kiva declared about it, Meshi v'chachamim achor v'datam yisakel. Hashem turns wise men backwards and makes their intelligence foolish. He should have said to leave them this time and spare Yerushalayim. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan was afraid that Vespasian would not grant him anything. And point number three, the Gemara describes what occurred when Titus was sent in Vespasian's place. He brought a harlot in the Kodesh Kodashim, spread out a Sefer Torah, and sinned upon it. He slashed the parochas, from which blood miraculously bubbled out, which he took to mean that he had killed himself, which is a euphemistic reference to Hashem. He wrapped the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash in the parochas and brought them on a ship going back to Rome. When a storm threatened to drown, he blasphemously declared, Kodesh Baruch Hu could only destroy his enemies with water. A baskol issued forth, Rasha ben Benosha Esav Rasha, evil one, son of an evil one, descendant of the evil Esav, Birya Kala Yeshli Ba'olami V'yatu Shema. I have a lowly creature in my world called the gnat. Alo Yabash V'tasi Imam Muhammad. Go up on dry land and do battle with it. A gnat entered Titus's nose and picked at his brain for 7 years. Once he passed a smith hammering, and the gnat stopped. For the next 3 days, he had a smith banging in his presence until the gnat became accustomed to the sound and returned. The Gemara describes its great size when Titus died. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Nun Vav, and this Siman was suggested to us by Rabbi Shlomo Weissman from Passaic, New Jersey, as well as Rabbi Moshe White from Edmonton, Alberta. They both suggested that Nun Vav is a shusher in shul going nu-nu. So here goes. The shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, was complimented by the rabbi, who said that the shusher's shus was so loud it would have stopped the gnat picking away at Titus's brain. Once again, slow motion. The shusher in shul, that must be more in Duff. Nun Vav. The shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, which reminds us the following three blocks discuss the Churban of Bayis Sheni in detail, beginning with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So the shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, which reminds the Gemara brings a background behind Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three requests of Vespasian of Tenli Yavne v'chachamecha, grant me Yavne and its sages to be spared, the line of Rabban Gamliel, the eventual Nasi from David's line, and doctors secure Rabbi Tzadok from his years of fasting. Rav Yosef or Rabbi Kiva declared about him, Hashem turns wise men backwards and makes their intelligence foolish. He should have said to leave them this time and spare Yerushalayim. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan was afraid that Vespasian would not grant him anything. So the shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, was complimented by the rabbi, who said that the shush's shush was so loud it would have stopped the gnat picking away at Titus's brain. Which reminds, the Gemara describes what occurred when Titus was sent in Vespasian's place. He did despicable things in the Kodesh Kodashim and was eventually punished by the tiny gnat who entered his nose and picked at his brain for 7 years. Once he passed a smith hammering, and the gnat stopped. For the next 3 days, he had a smith banging in his presence until the gnat became accustomed to the sound and returned. The Gemara describes its great size when Titus died. So once again, the shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, was complimented by the rabbi, who said that the shush's shush was so loud it would have stopped the gnat picking away at Titus's brain. All right, so now it's time for Four Blah Bach Hazara. Daf Nun Beis. So the Simmer Daf Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, which reminds us, more clarifies that an apitropos can take truma for orphans, la'achil, to feed them, but not to store away. A bryce elaborates on other powers of the apitropos, such as using the orphan's property to prepare them for mitzvahs which have a cost limit, such as lulav sukkah and tzitzis. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphan's produce to feed them, saw the instructor had drawn an equal sign to teach that property of orphans is like hekdesh when it comes to sales, which reminds the Gemara discussed in the moment of acquisition and purchases involving orphans. Produce which was drawn through Mashiach from orphan's possession to acquire before payment. If a later increase in value, the orphans can retract based on the statement of Rab Chanilai Bar Idi in the name of Shmuel, nechse yesomim harihen kehekdesh. Property of of orphans is like Hekdesh and is only acquired with money and not Mashicha, drawing clothes. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit named B.T. Green, who was taking the beginner's course on how to be an apitropos, learning how to tie the orphans' produce to feed them, saw the instructor had drawn an equal sign to teach the property of orphans is like Hekdesh when it comes to sales, and turned green watching a simulation of a thief stealing someone's wine and pouring it to an idol, where he had to pay and get stoned. Which reminds us, Rav says the Mishnah's case of Menasech means Menasech Mamish. One literally pours another person's wine as an idolatrous libation. Shmuel says Ma'ariv. It means one who mixes Nesach wine into kosher wine, thereby prohibiting it. He disagrees with Rav because Menasech Kamlei B'Rabbi Minei. One who makes idolatrous libations is chai for a more severe punishment, namely skila, stoning, than paying money. And the more severe punishment exempts him from paying compensation, the lesser penalty. Rav holds from the moment of lifting the wine, he acquires it as stolen goods, obligating him to pay for it, but does not become chai for his life until the time of the libation. Because the monetary obligation preceded the libation, it is not exempted by the greater penalty. Daf Nun Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that must be more Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince in the green robes, who had his attendants examine food someone was matame, to determine if in fact it was hezek sheino nicker, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchukas about hezek sheino nicker, damage which isn't recognizable. Chizki holds that one is chayv midaraisa for, but the rabbis exempted an unintentional damager, kadei sheyodio, so that he'll inform the owner that his food is prohibited. If he would be chayv, he may hesitate to inform the owner, causing him to eat the prohibited food. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and holds hezek sheino nicker, loshme hezek. Unrecognizable damage is not considered genuine damage. The rabbis penalize one who intentionally damaged this way, so that everyone should not go and be Matame's friend's tower of foods and say, Patrani, I'm exempt. So the Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food someone was Matame to determine if in fact it was Hezek Sheno Nicker was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation. Which reminds us, Rapapa challenged Chizkiah from a Mishnah. Gazamat Bey of Anipsal, one who stole a coin and it was disqualified for use by the government, the thief may return and say, what's yours is before you, and returned, and it's not chayv for its loss in value. So we see conclusively from here that Hezek Sheino Nicker, Lav Shmei Hezek, is not considered damage. So the Nigerian prince in the green robes who had his attendants examine food someone was Matame to determine if in fact it was Hezek Sheino Nicker was outraged when the thief who stole his treasure box of coins returned the coins after the government had declared they were no longer in circulation, and insisted that even one who damages like this Beshokek should be penalized atumezid, just like the Jews do when it comes to prohibiting food that was cooked on their Sabbath. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains why Rebbe Meir holds we penalize Shogeg atumezid when it comes to Hezek Sheino Nicker, but do not do so when it comes to Amavashu B'Shabbos B'Shogeg, one who cooks B'Shogeg on Shabbos. And why Rebbe Yudah holds we do not penalize Shogeg atumezid when it comes to Hezek Sheino Nicker, but do penalize Shogeg atumezid when it comes to Bishop B'Shogeg on Shabbos. Daf Nun Dalad, so the Simon Daf Nun Dalad is noodles. So here goes. The Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish, green noodles, that must be on Daf Nun Dalad, noodles. The Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him a shogeg with Tamei Chul, and which reminds us, the Gemara Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis asserted that Rabbi Meir penalizes a shogeg as severely as Mazid for a Rabban, yet he rules in a Brisa that if a non-Kohen ate Tahor Truma b'shogeg, instead of paying him Tahor Chulin, he paid him a Tamei Chulin, which cannot be eaten since it becomes Truma. Rabbi Meir says, b'shogeg tashum of tashumim, if it was done b'shogeg, the payment is valid. But Mazid, the payment is invalid. The Gemara answers that this is not comparable, since there when paying with Tamei Chulin, the man intended to pay as required. Should we go and penalize him for mistakenly paying with Tamei produce? So the Kohen was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael, who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma, repaid him b'shogeg with Tamei Chulin. Wasn't believed when he told the man he was mafagel the carbon he brought on his behalf the day before, which reminds us, it was taught in a Braisa that if one was preparing Tahor items for another, and he told him the Tahor items are prepared if he became Tamei, or if he was preparing Karbanos for another by sacrificing them, and he told him the Karbanos are prepared for you became Pigel, he's believed. However, if he said that items he prepared on a previous day became Tamei or Pigel, he's not believed. Abai explains the difference, Kol Shebiyado Neman, anything within his ability to do now, he's believed to say he did. But something that's no longer in his ability to do, such as something that was done the day before, he's not believed. Rava gives a different explanation. So the Kohen, who was outraged when he saw that the Yisrael who accidentally ate his green noodle dish made from Tahor Truma repaid him b'shogeg with Tamei Chulin, wasn't believed when he told the man he was mafago the carbon he brought on his behalf the day before, and that the Sefer Torah he had written for him that was now in this man's possession was pasul because he didn't write Hashem's names, Lishma. Which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident of a sofer who told Rabbi Ami about a Sefer Torah he wrote for someone. I did not write the mentions of Hashem's names, Lishma, which would invalidate the entire Sefer Torah. After determining the Torah was in the purchaser's possession, Rabbi Ami responded, "Ne'eman atal habsid scharcha. You are believed to forfeit your wages since you admitted you didn't perform the work properly. V'yata ne'eman habsid sefer Torah, but you're not believed to disqualify the sefer Torah." Daf Nun Hey. So the Simmer Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs. Speed limit signs. That must be on Daf Nun Hey. Speed limit sign of 55. The stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim, which reminds us, Yochanan ben Gurgada taught, v'chattas ha-gazua shol nodu l'rabim, concerning a stolen chattas, meaning a stolen animal, which the thief designated as a chattas, which is not publicly known to have been stolen, shehi mechaperes mifnei tikkun ha-mizbech, that it atones for the thief's chattas obligation for the benefit of the mizbech. Ula says, biblically speaking, whether it was known or not, it doesn't atone for the thief, because yeush kedi l'kani, the owner's despair alone, does not acquire ownership of the thief. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted that where the stolen status of the animal is unknown, it atones for the thief's obligation, so that the kohanim should not be saddened by the later discovery that they ate illegitimate sacrificial meat, meaning chulin brought as a carbon. This is called tikkun ha-mizbech, the benefit of the mizbech, because kohanim would hesitate in the future to bring karbonis. Rav Yehuda brings a different explanation. So the stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chayiv karas by rabbinic decree, which reminds us, Rava challenged Ula from a brisa which teaches about a stolen animal which the thief was makdish. If he shechted it outside the mikdash, in such a case, anush karas, he's liable to karas. This proves that yeush is sufficient for the thief to own and be makdish the animal, for otherwise it wouldn't be karas for shechting outside the mikdash. Rav Shivzi answered, it means karas medivrehem. It's karas by rabbinical decree. Rava explained that the karas was engendered due to a rabbinical decree. The rabbis place it in the thief's possession using the principle of hefker based in hefker, so you should be chayav for karas for shechting it outside the mikdash. So the stolen chattas thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chayav karas by rabbinical decree, and that he was standing on land being sold by a sikrikon who had taken it from a Jew, which reminds us, Gemara discusses purchasing land from a sikrikon, an idolater who sees land from a Jew. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff did we learn that if one stole coins and returned them after the government stopped circulating them, he's not high for their loss in value? That's on Dav Nun Gimel. Good. Number two, which stuff did we learn about the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? That's on Dav Nun Vav. Good. Number three, which stuff are two explanations given as to why produce which grew in a stolen field can only be collected from the seller's own property? That's on Dav Nun. Good. Number four, which of the one an apitropos can tithe on behalf of Yosomim in order to feed them, but not to store the produce away? That's on Dav Nun Beis. Good. Number five, which of the one a stolen animal designated as a carbon, which was shechted outside the base of Migdash, the onus is chorus based on a rabbinical decree? That's on Dav Nun Hey. Good. Number six, which stuff did we learn about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three requests from Vespasian? That's on Dav Nun Vav. Good. Number seven, which stuff do you know about the case of one being menasech someone else's wine, and if it's a case of kamali b'derabi minei? That's on Dav Nun Beis. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we have a question whether one is believed when he claims his friend's tahor items became tame or his carbon became pigol? That's on Dav Nun Dav. Good. Number nine, which stuff do you know about the rishus of titas and his being tormented by the gnat picking away at his brain? That's on Dav Nun Vav. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we know about the distinction between one admitting he found one of two purses where he has to swear, and the case of admitting he found one of two oxen tied together where he does not have to swear? That's on Dav Nun Vav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.